Welcome, everybody. It's so much fun to be a part of this. And that was a great presentation by Jake. I really enjoyed that. We are here tonight, the Publications Committee of CCB, and all of you are here tonight to talk about and write about how our lives in CCB intersect with the rest of our lives. Where does that intersection happen? And how is that great, fruitful land for writing, whether it's writing articles for the Blind Californian, for social media, for the publications and other parts of your life. Now, I'm going to take a roll call in just a minute here, or just to find out who's here, because it's part of the actual workshop. But I don't know if you all received an email from Mike Keithley today, our marvelous BC editor. But it was an email that went out to all BC writers and everyone in CCB. And it said, Summer BC is ramping up. And ordinarily the deadline would be May 15th, but we're going to make it May 22nd because we know you're going to have all kinds of cool stuff after convention you want to write. So it's May 22nd. So unwittingly, Mike threw down a gauntlet to us tonight. We have been challenged, each and every one of us on this call, to come up with an article by May 22nd. Are we going to let Mike down? I don't think so. So our activities tonight are going to be geared toward helping us pull very specific CCB-oriented writing out of ourselves. Now, last year when we did our publications workshop, we were a bit more general. We talked about writing in general, what gets in the way of our writing. We did some creative writing prompts to get us started, and all of that's good stuff. But this time, we're going to focus the lens a little bit more and get us writing and talking about our involvement in CCB. And I say writing and talking because discussion always helps writers work. And so that's going to be an important part of this. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to find out who's on the call. And Sarah, we can do this by, last letters. I mean, going through the alphabet, first letter, last name first. But I'd like each person who says that they're here to say your name, your affiliate, your main chapter affiliate, and any other CCB affiliate to which you belong. So just those two things, but three things: your name, your affiliate, and any other CCB affiliate to which you belong. There is a method, a reason for my asking everyone to do this. So what do you think, Sarah? Should we just do it the last name way or what?
I think the last name way works fantabulous. So go
Okay.
for it.
Okay. So anybody on this call whose last name begins with the letters A through D, can you speak up and tell us who you are, your home base affiliate, and any other affiliates to which you belong?
Hi, this is
Tracy
Tracy
Bailey.
Beckham.
Tracy.
And my affiliate is Fresno.
Fabulous. Perfect. Welcome, Fresno. Who's next?
My name's Christine Bailey, and mine's the Inland Empire, and I'm also involved with the High Desert chapter.
Oh, cool. Inland Empire and High Desert. So we got a triangle going already here. Look at this. Three places we can write about. Any others? A through D.
James Chamberlain, Glendale, Burbank area chapter.
Hey, Glenn, perfect. Glendale Burbank chapter. That's a fourth. We're getting a lot of regional stuff here. Good. Any other A through D? Okay, last names beginning with the letters E through H, E F G H. Well, I'm Susan Glass, and I'm in the Silicon Valley chapter, and I'm also president of Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Inc., and I'm also a member of BRLC, and I'm also a member of Kahlua.
Oh, well, you have way more on me. So I am Sarah Harris, and I belong to the Fresno chapter and also to CLUA, California Library Users of America. I think I need
And
to get some more affiliates going.
well, I don't know because you also happen to be leading our charge, and that counts as about 7 zillion affiliates. So
Woohoo!
definitely no worries there. No, that's great. Let's see. So we've gotten through I. Okay, last names beginning with J, K, L, M, N, and O, the great
David
elemento.
Mandel, Bayview, San Francisco is my home chapter. I should have said that first.
Right.
And okay. Let's see, IDC, Inclusive Diversity of California, BRLC, and Kahlua.
And Board of Publications.
And Board of, oh gosh, yeah. And,
yep, Committee, yep.
And Publications Committee. And
there you
I'm
go.
Really proud to say that in the last 6 months, I've had 3 articles in the Braille Forum, and I'm really, really excited about that.
Yes, you have, and I intend to feature you and pick on you. Too. I will pick on you, but I intend to,
oh, God.
To make something of that. Let's see, any others, J through O?
I'm Debbie Obregon. I'm in the San Gabriel Valley chapter and also the Orange County chapter, and I'm also in Kahlua.
Fabulous. 3 representations. We got another triangle writer. Wonderful. Thank you, Debbie.
Nicolette Noyes.
Nicolette Noyes, yes.
San Francisco is my home chapter, but I also belong to Bayview chapter in Northern California, and I'm a member of the CAAVL and the AAVL and the CCBCDA and the ACBCDA and BITS. And if I'm a member of something else, I can't remember at the moment, but thank you very much.
Whoa, she just got all the points on the board, Sarah, all those marbles. Those are like 3 or 4 more affiliates that haven't been mentioned yet.
Yes.
This is a wild card woman. This is dangerous. Very good, Nicolette. Anyone
call
else?
Me Nikki.
Okay, I will do that, Nikki. Anyone else through the O's?
Jordan.
All right, Jordan, let's give you your space. Go for it.
Inland Empire chapter.
Excellent. Empire chapter. Great. Last names, letters P through T.
Anthony Signorello. My home chapter is Glendale Burbank. Second chapter would be Greater LA. I also belong to BRLC and the students group.
Oh, awesome. You're part of the students group? That's great. So we got 4 in there. That's wonderful. And all your years of experience to guide you and to guide your writing as well here. This is wonderful. Who else?
Linda Perel.
Linda Perel.
The Linda's butted heads, we always do. You go ahead, Linda, yes. And then I will.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Linda.
No problem.
It's
go
the
ahead.
Other Linda.
It's Linda Honey, that Linda. Go ahead.
I'm with the Active Blind Inland Valley chapter, also Inclusive Diversity of California and CAAVL.
Wow, a second one from CCAVL, and the first voice tonight that I heard for Inclusive Diversity, and of course your home chapter. Welcome, welcome. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Over to you, Linda Perel.
Thank you. I am, first of all, you did not say that you're on the publications committee, Miss Susan, and the associate editor of the magazine. I forgot. Okay. So I'm Linda Burrell. I at San Francisco is my home chapter. I am CCB board secretary. I am the chair of the publications committee. I am the vice president of Kahlua. I am in BRLC. I am in Guide Dogs. And I am in IDC. I counted 7 fingers. I'm sure I'm leaving something out, you know, but that's it for now.
But you realize that's 7 articles potentially you could write over a period of, you know, the BC coming out every 3 times. So this is very
right.
Cool. This is not to mention the fact that on the board they're always making you write something. So it's always happening anyway.
There you go.
Yep. Let's see, we're going all the way through T. Any other last names P through T?
This is Lisa Presley Thomas.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. My home chapter is Fresno. And sadly, this activity has made me realize I do not belong to any affiliates, which I need to change, but I am the state treasurer, which keeps me very busy.
Yes, and so does being an employee. I mean, we need to hasten, because part of what we're going to be talking tonight are these intersections, right? Between what we're doing here and our other work. So not to worry, we know how busy you are. You're keeping us all floating, and nobody forgets that. Let's go through to the end of the alphabet, even if we haven't heard everyone in this category. So from P all the way to Z. I know we've got other folks here.
Frank Welty.
Hi, Frank.
I am a member. My home chapter is the San Francisco chapter. I'm also currently a member of the Greater LA chapter. I am involved with the Braille Revival League of California and the California Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. I'm also a member of California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, California Library Users of America, California Diabetics in Action, and Inclusive Diversity of California.
Fabulous. And you might have been the first one to say Diabetics in Action. If not, if I'm slighting somebody, I'm sorry, but we just added another article to the board here of things we can write about. Great. Okay. Anyone else?
Mike Keithley is here.
Hey, Mike.
I am very sorry. I've been having, I did not clear a dialogue here. So that's why I was saying hello, 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 and nobody heard me. So, but then nobody wants to hear me anyway.
Oh, no, so. No, we got to hear from our editor. So tell us about the hats that you wear here in CCB.
I'm vice president of CCB, and I belong to BRLC. I'm a treasurer there in Kahlua. And I think that's it. Thank you.
That's it. That's a lot to carry. Good job. Who else?
Christy Creston.
Christy, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Tell us about you.
My home chapter is the Active Blind Inland Valleys. I am president of the California Diabetics in Action. And those of you who promised to join, get hold of John Ross, please. Mm-hmm. I am a member of, BRLC, CLUA, CCB Students, Golden State Guide Dog Handlers. Am I missing? CAAVL. I'm an Ellen Murphy Fund manager, and I am
you're chair of the scholarship committee.
I'm chair of the scholarship committee, and I'm a CCB board member. And I don't know if I'm forgetting anything else, but if I am,
and I am trying to catch my breath, Christy. That is quite a list. And I'm really happy you said scholarship chair. I'm glad Linda reminded you of that.
Yeah.
And also the Ellen Murphy Fund member, because one of the questions I want us to think about tonight are all the committees on which we serve, and what we're doing at the moment is just building resources here. And mm-hmm. So I'm super glad that you said everything you said.
Right. And I'm a BetterHelp therapist.
Oh my. Perfect. Perfect. And is that a CCB part, or is that the intersection in your life?
That's the intersection in my life. I'm a health coach and a BetterHelp therapist.
Okay. And of course, if we went through this list again and we all listed our intersections in our life, we would, we'll have to order out ice cream because it's going to take a long time. But it's really good to, I want everybody to think about what those intersections are, what else brings you here. Anyone else who hasn't spoken yet?
This is Vita Zavoli.
Hello, Vita.
My home chapter is San Francisco. I'm part of the Greater LA chapter. I'm part of the Contra Costa chapter. I'm part of Guide Dogs, CLUA, IDC, and I don't remember truthfully, the TOG. And on the national level, I'm on the board of Blind Pride International. Awesome. But I think what really takes up my life is my full-time job.
Yeah, which sometimes we wish it would take a walk, right? It's the intersection is great, but it's a lot. You're treasurer extraordinaire to everyone. I'm glad you mentioned Blind Pride because many of us also have national connections. Mm-hmm. Have we heard from everyone?
Well, I'm Patty Nash, and I'm president of Bayview Chapter, and I belong to BRLC, but I taught Braille for a long time, and I just like to write, so that's why I'm here, but I don't know. I don't think I do as much as everybody else, so maybe I just shouldn't be here. I don't know.
Oh, no, 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 no. You should be here because you teach Braille. That's a huge intersection. You're active in your chapter. You're on BRLC. You absolutely must be here. And here's the bottom line, loves to write. Some people don't want to love to write, but they know they need to write. But, you know we could come to you and say, can you help me make this perfect? And you'd say, yeah, I'll try. So
yeah,
that's all good.
Well, I'm retiring from teaching Braille, so I'll have more time too.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah, we welcome you, Patty. This is fabulous.
Anyone else?
Okay, this took 15 minutes, but it is not a waste of our time. Because did you know, even though we all know each other, did you know that all of us are doing this many things? I didn't. I had no idea that the net was cast that widely. We are the greatest resource to each other when we are engaged in any kind of media practice pertaining to CCB. And if I need to know something about Diabetics in Action, I know that I can reach out to Christy. And if I need to know something about Inland Empire, there are people here I can talk to. And so one of the reasons we're doing this is to think about the incredible resource library that we are to each other. We all know how to surf the net, but never forget the value of the human research and resource model. And, you know, to be able to reach out to any in this chapter and get help from anything we're working on, that is super important. Here's another thing. I've been thinking for a long time about something that would really make the BC fun. And, you know, for a while we were doing profiles of various chapters, and I or another editor would interview you, and we'd do, you know, we did one for Orange County and we did one from Fresno. In fact, that's how I met Sarah, I think. But wouldn't it be cool if chapters in different VCs took turns saying, here's what we're up to, right? So, you know, if we, and these are just ideas, and I'm going to get us busy in a minute, but these are just ideas that came to me listening to everyone talk here. So, you know, the summer VC, you know, we hear from, you know, Inland Empire, and we hear from San Gabriel, and, you know, maybe we hear from, inclusive diversity. We hear from one of our affiliates, and you have these little news articles. Here's what we've been up to. That wouldn't be very hard to write, and someone in the chapter could do it. And we only have 3 BCs a year, but we could have those articles shifting and moving, you know, through the various BCs. The other thing that we could possibly do is consider having chapters feature small things about what they're doing on the website, or as we've been talking about in the background here in CCB, if we ever get podcasts up and going, featuring chapter activities through podcasts is a great way of getting more information about CCB and information about each other out to each other. Because we are here to talk about our intersections momentarily with our professional life. I can't believe how many resources we have right here that we don't even know about till we start having these conversations like this. And so what we're going to do right now is how many of you have a way to write tonight?
I do.
Anyone else? Okay, hold on, Mike.
Nikki does. And I'm already thinking about articles I could write. You've given me a lot of good suggestions, because I'm on the newsletter committee of the California Diabetics in Action.
Oh, fabulous.
And we're going to have a meeting tomorrow morning.
Well, that's the idea. And we can do this one of two ways. I brought a whole bunch of prompts. Prompts are questions that I ask that you take a few minutes to write on. But we can also throw these out as topics for discussion, because the meeting's going to be recorded. And the purpose of the questions that I'm going to ask you is to help us generate article ideas for the BC. And then some of these questions are going to ask us to generate connections between our lives in CCB and our lives in the rest of what's going on with us, because we have professions, we have churches to which we belong, we have children with whom we play, we have grandchildren, we have communities, we have hobbies, we have other organizations, environmental organizations, you name it, we're doing it. And we want to make the intersections happen as much as we possibly can. So here's a couple of things to think about as we have this discussion. In what ways, well, let me just hold on. I want to get back to the right place in my, the first thing I want to talk about is skills that you think you've acquired in CCB that have spilled over into your profession or into the rest of your lives. And let me give you a couple of examples of that. When we were listening to the candidates forum on Saturday, Rob Turner made a comment about how leadership skills that he acquired through his many, many years in CCB found their way into his professional work in radio and in Bookshare and in other places where he went to work. Regina Brink's poems and articles about self-discovery have found their way into our publications and no doubt into her work and into her work on the IDC. David has sprinkled us with several articles this year about transportation, about a girl in school whom he befriended who was a Spanish mentor, and they taught each other a lot about, you know, Spanish and blindness and other things, and about teachers who meant a great deal to him. And those things happened for David in part because he's a dynamic person and a, you know, a wonderful person, and in part because CCB gave him those particular skills. So in what ways has being in CCB made you more of a leader? Let's start with that one. And we don't have to write it down. You can just, if you can think of ways in which your activities in CCB have made you more of a leader, this is a time to share that. Now, it's very important to be boastful tonight. No modesty allowed.
Are we writing this or are we?
I'm opening for discussion. If you want, I'll read you all the prompts and that may make people less shy. Let's try it that way. And the purpose of these prompts is to get us thinking about articles, thinking about things we can share with each other. So right. In what ways is being in CCB made you a better leader? In what ways has being in CCB made you more of a team builder, a collaborator? In what ways has being in CCB made you a better friend? Anybody want to jump on any of those? Okay, go ahead.
Well, my activities in CCB are what you would term retirement activities. When I was at HP, working at HP, I hardly knew CCB. I knew it was there, but there was so much to do at work that I hardly paid attention to CCB. But I retired. I retired in 2000, and I had time to check out what is SVCB all about. I know where the meetings are. I'm going to go over there and see what the meeting is like. So I went over there and met Roger Peterson and Judy Lovins and kind of lots of people. And then I joined right then and there. And so that sort of got me started in HP. And then I got involved with writing the newsletter for SVCB. And that sort of dovetailed eventually into working as editor for the Blind Californian. And so CCB has given me direction. as to where my activities are going.
And what you've just described is a perfectly arced article. CCB made you a leader by making you a writer in two places. It you know, made that connection between Hewlett Packard. You got some friendships. And one of my questions that I was going to ask tonight too is, how did each of you become involved in CCB? What happened? Those are stories that are very exciting, and they can work to our benefit if we tell them in the Blind Californian. They can also work to our benefit if we have other publications or social media outlets where we can tell people about this great organization, you know, that we belong, and we can reach those stories out to say, you know, these are stories that have built me. So that narrative arc that you just gave us right there is an excellent article, whether for a social media, whether for a written format, whether for a podcast. That's a really interesting idea. How did I get involved? What did it do for me? That's really helpful.
This is Nikki.
Yes, come in, please.
You know, I'll tell you something. I've been in writing groups before, but this one is really exciting because the first thing I started thinking about when you started talking about it was how I became involved due to my dad who was losing his sight. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, just very briefly, and I can write articles about all of this stuff. And tomorrow is not the newsletter committee meeting, it's the writing to Congress meeting. I'm sorry, I screwed up. But at any rate, there's so many meetings I'm going to, I have to write them all down on a piece of paper. Anyway, but the other one is making better friends. I've been a part of CCB and the Light House for the Blind and the East Bay Center for the Blind and Well Connected, which is another group, for 22 years, and then Well Connected for about 16 years. And in the last 2 years, I've gotten to know so many people around the country through the chats and through the programs and the Zoom programs. And I've made a lot of friends. I've never laid eyes on any of them. And mm-hmm. I feel like I have a whole community, a whole family, and more of a team builder. I've been on a lot of committees over my life, and you cannot do it alone. You need to work as a team. You need to work together because you culminate all the ideas of all the other people and you bring it together and you come up with a finished product. But the most important, well, not the most important thing, but the thing that happened to me most recently, and it's because I got to know all these people. Larry Gassman 2 years ago turned me on Old Time Radio, which turned me on to more people that I got to know online. But I joined the California Diabetics in Action, and he left. I'd been a part of it for a while, but he left. And as a result, he wasn't on the board, but I ended up being on the board because there wasn't anybody else. We didn't have enough people. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm a bit of a board member. So that's one of the things that is making me a leader. And I was teasing him about it the other day, and because he was saying in the president thing, you know, we want to learn how to encourage people. And I almost brought that up during that meeting, but then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. But it's because of him that I'm a board member of the CCB, CBA. And I'm working with a wonderful group of people, and I'm in different affiliates and whatnot and different chapters. And I just love it. I'm just having the time of my life, and I intend to live at least another 30 years. So there you have it.
And I'm going to
put myself on mute. Yes,
your enthusiasm is so bubbly and wonderful. And I can hear four different articles in there, an overview article of your involvement, one
Absolutely.
On how CCB has made you a leader with the board, one on how collaboration works so well for you, and how everybody thought Zoom was going to kill us all when we went into it, and yet we built a lot with it. You've just got so much going on here. And and getting involved because of your dad. Those involved.
And one more thing. I'm much more organized because once I retired about, I guess it was 22 years ago this year, I retired and I became very, very disorganized. I had been totally organized before, but being part of a CCB and having to keep track of all the notes and all the things that are going on, I've become much more organized. So that's another thing. Thank you. I'm going to shut up now.
No. You're marvelous. Organize or die is what has to happen here. It's really good. It's hard stuff. Excellent. Thank you for that. Anyone else want to comment? I can read the questions again if you want, or if
Linda.
Someone's ready. Yeah, Linda.
Your question about how I got involved in CCB was intriguing to me, of course. One thing I forgot to list in my list of my resume is that I'm the co-chair of ACB Women, the committee. And recently we were tasked with writing articles for the Braille Forum for the March issue, which was for Women's History Month. And so as chair, I thought, oh God, I better write something. So what came to me was to write about how I got involved in CCB and the importance of the fabulous Winifred Downing as my mentor, because people are always talking about mentorship and what that entails. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to submit something that described how she continued to encourage me to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And now here I am, up to my neck. And, and it's partly because of her wonderful, welcoming example. And so that was a good thing to write an article about. The other thing I want to say is, as secretary of CCB, I've even tightened my skills. I'm a person who's always looking for the perfect word when I write things. And so to be able to write minutes in a very concise and organized manner, it's been great practice to keep that skill alive and going. And I hope to do a training in the fall for anybody who wants to be secretaries for various chapters of how to do good minutes.
Fabulous. I think I better go to that class. I've been a secretary a few times, but you can write down everything or write down, you got to find that middle ground, you know, and be exact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Work, isn't we're it? Not we're not court reporters like
a that's right.
Chair. We have to do very concise. Anyway, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah. Anyone else? And I'll give you the questions again, just to think in what ways has CCB made you more of a leader? In what way has it made you more of a team player or a collaborator? In what ways has it made you a better friend? How did you get involved? What happened? And this is one I forgot to put on the list till later. Do you have any really memorable convention experiences? I remember staying up all night in someone's room once talking about school and education. It was 4 a.m. or something before we stopped. Does anybody have any, you know, stories of that happening? So that was the other idea.
This is Christy.
Christy, yes.
So I want to write, and I do want to write. I actually want to write a book, and I haven't had availability to, you know, so I'm going to pick people's brains because it's like, I know what I want to write, but how do you get started? What I want to do is write my CCB story. But I want to write it in such a way as it's not just saying, I did this and I did that. And then I did, you know, so I guess that's my looking at what kind of narrative I want to do, what kind of style.
Write as part of your memoirs.
Yeah. Well, I want to, but again, like I said, trying to figure out the writing style that's going to hold somebody's interest rather than just saying, I did this and then I did that and then brag. And it's like, no, I've had fun in my life. CCB, I joined CCB at 18 years old.
Wow.
You know, wow. Started getting involved, as a scholarship winner, met my husband, you know, got involved in leadership, and it's lonely at the top sometimes. I was president of what was then the student division because we were part of the National Federation of the Blind. And I was president and Ed was treasurer, but it was lonely. And I compare it to being in the union. And there are so many parallels in life that, you know, some of the loneliness that happens, or up in leadership or some of the thinking that I'm a better team player than I am, or, you know, it's what are the lessons learned that transfer throughout life.
And you know, the way you just phrased that, Christy, what are the lessons learned that transfer throughout life? You hit some themes, you know, you talked about leadership, loneliness at the top, you know, you think of political organizations, unions. I think the way to structure a book like that in part is to make those broad connections so that you're telling the arc of a story of a community as well as your own story. And I also think that one way to get the book written is to do it an article at a time. Mm-hmm. Just an article on how I learned to be a better team player, or an article called Lonely at the Top. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell my students, because they knew they had to write 10 to 11,000 words in my class and they were terrified. And I said, well, how many pounds of food have you eaten in your lifetime? And, you know, we calculated like thousands. And I said, okay, if you did that all at once, you'd be like a dangerous elephant, right? You know, we don't do it. We do it a word at a time,
right,
a story at a time. And I think that because you're telling the story of a community, if you break it down into articles, you eventually accumulate chapters of that memoir. I don't know if how many of you know Carla Hayes. She's an ACB member, but
yeah,
she's also very active in American Association of Blind Teachers. And she's been writing for years a column for Teacher's Aid. It's called The Teacher's Aid for our newsletter. She's got so many of them now, she's been able to make books out of them. So don't be afraid to grow the small ideas into big ideas. That's really, really useful. It's amazing how they accumulate after a while. And that would be my take on what you just said, I think. And you've got the kernels for the articles right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else?
This is Lisa. I think CCB, having been kind of, you know, woven into my life, I joined CCB a little bit differently. My parents actually are both visually impaired, and they joined CCB back in 1972 when my mother was still pregnant with me. And so I grew up in CCB because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, conventions were twice a year and the nationals. So we were traveling with my parents to conventions, and we were volunteering, and it was a time where, you know, other people were bringing their kids, and it was just some fun convention times we used to have. So I grew up more volunteering for CCB. And then when I became older, you know, obviously got into it much more, wanted to kind of come in and be a part of something bigger. But I think that being a part of CCB and because it's been such a big part of my life has really made me the business person that I am, you know, with the dedication to tasks that I'm given and just the overall, not so much leadership, but just being able to be more vocal, more present, more in a position to really help and make a difference. So I don't know what my life would be without CCB, because it's been such a huge part of my life.
And I love something you just said, Lisa, about carrying that discipline into your business life. You didn't use the word ethics or efficacy, but I thought of it, you know, that there's a certain ethic that you bring to your work, probably because of your parents and your work in CCB, and that transfers into the business life. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, growing up with blind parents, and I'm the oldest, I should say. My sister's younger than I. So, you know, being older, I had a lot more responsibility at a young age, because I kind of had to help my parents back then. You know, there wasn't technology, there wasn't all the, you know, great resources that we have now. And so, you know, I had to help out and, you know, go grocery shopping and read the bus schedules. And I always joke with people because I literally was writing checks for grocery with my parents at the grocery store when I was 5 and 6 years old. And I think that that kind of led me into my profession of accounting, because I remember having to, you know, help my mother write and balance the checkbooks and do all of those things. So I know that having that responsibility at a young age kind of has really shaped me into, you know, the strong business professional that I am now, definitely.
That's a wonderful story. And I'd like to use it to segue into our next discussion topic, which doesn't mean we can't continue discussing what we have been discussing. We've been talking about the stories we're telling about our CCB life, but we're also talking about the intersection between CCB and our lives. And you've just shared ways in which being in CCB from cradle onward really contributed to yourself as a business person and to your career choice. Those of us on this call who are currently working, can you think of ways in which what you've been doing in CCB has found its way into your workplace, maybe caused you to take a more assertive stance in a conversation than you might otherwise have taken, or maybe caused you to give particular encouragement to a person you were with? And for those of us who are quote unquote retired, because we never retire in CCB, are there ways in which what we've learned in the organization is affecting our personal lives and our friendships? And I can give an example very briefly. I have a poetry book that came out this spring that's been published by Slate Roof Press in Massachusetts. And Slate Roof Press is a collaborative press. Every writer in the press helps each other build our books, work on the artwork, you know, work on the vetting of manuscripts, all that kind of thing. And I found that what I learned about collaboration in CCB made it very comfortable for me to chat with everyone in the press, the other six people, all of who are cited. And we ended up making Braille a main part of the book. And we've also, we're a very small press. We've been around since 2004. And we now have a commitment that every book that we publish will have an audio and eventually a Braille edition, because we think it's very important that a small press should reflect accessibility. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn here, but I'm saying that I think CCB probably made me feel confident enough to share that with these colleagues of mine and not feel intimidated, not feel shy about it and that sort of thing. And so I'm just asking, you know, are there things that have happened to you as CCB members that show up in your workplace or at your Thanksgiving dinner table, or, you know, when you're out at a bowling alley? I mean, what are those intersections that you can think of? And again, we're just, I guess it's a talker's writing workshop tonight, but I think it gets more of us speaking up about it.
This is the beat. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
We got lots of folks at the same time.
I will yield.
I heard David. Who else did we hear besides David?
Linda Samolsky.
Linda, you know what? We're going to let Linda go, and then David, and then me. Go for it, Linda.
Okay perfect.
So I recently retired, well, about 2 years ago. But when I was in the workplace, I did things like taught life skills, and we had a class on community transition. And then I left that job in San Diego. I worked for the Center for the Blind there, and I went to guide dog school, Guide Dogs of the Desert. And throughout, my life, probably from the 90s, in the 90s, I was a member of CCB, and then in the 2000s, I went back to school, and that took over my life, and I didn't rejoin until, I think, 2014 or 15, but everything that I've been able to do at work there was a resource, and I always got my resources from CCB or ACB, and I was able to talk to my classes and give them, you know, good resources as well as knowledge about things that were available. And hopefully I helped someone become a member. And recently I have written two articles. I wrote one for the BC and I wrote one for the Braille Forum. So I'm just now getting my feet wet as far as writing. And so CCB and ACB have helped me develop those skills. You know, when you retire, you've got to have something to fall back on. And I thought after retirement, well, what am I going to do? My whole life has been, you know, working with people who are blind and teaching. And thank God for CCB and ACB, because my life would have been very lonely and very unfulfilled had I not, come back to the organization.
And it sounds like the organization is still keeping you busy. I mean, you've just completed two articles. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. David.
I told you I would yield to Linda. And I'm really excited about Linda too, because Linda's writing, and we've been talking to her, a number of us, and I hope you go on writing, because your articles, you got so much to say and so many stories to tell. And that's exciting. What I wanted to say about the CCB is I worked as a reporter for a long time, and that was hard. And I'm not looking for a pity party here, but there were things that I thought, how am I as a blind person going to deal with? How am I going to get to all these unfamiliar places quickly? How am I going to orient myself? How am I going to make sure to be able to talk to people about their issues, to interview them, to, you know, present myself well at press conferences, to deal with demonstrations? You know, how am I going to, you know, report on them? How am I going to do it? And instead of worrying about it, I learned so much and developed so much confidence from being vice president of the Berkeley chapter, which unfortunately folded. But during that time, we organized in the early 90s, we organized a tech summit, which was wonderful. We organized an employment seminar and a social security day and things like that. And I was so excited about collaborating and working with other blind people. And I realized that I could get out there and do the job and do it just as well if I decided to do that. And so I was able to find, you know, creative techniques to do my work. And sometimes things didn't work out, but, you know, you just went ahead and made it happen anyway. And I also learned, in addition to that, a lot about advocacy, both from Wynne Downing, blessed memory, who Linda talked about, but also from Jewel McGinnis, who was an amazing advocate here in San Francisco. And I learned that you have to go out and do and be and represent and just make yourself available to people and work with people and learn to be a team player, and things will work out if you have a positive attitude. And that's what it happened with me. And I think it's a lot of it is because of the CCB.
Very, very cool bridge. Yeah. Very neat story. I can picture you talking to CCB members about something that happened at work and saying, oh my God, you won't believe it. You know,
yeah.
probably did happen.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Sarah.
And I love that he mentioned too that team player taught him how to be a team player. That's so important, David. Thank you for using those words. Yeah. Well, I'm going to mix and match a lot of things here because I think this is such a fun subject, Susan. And, you know, many people may not know that it's because of CCB that I have a job, that I'm out in the world, that, you know, I got my, you know, badass back, really, right? Like that was part of it. You know, I joined CCB in 2014 and just really found that there were things I could still do, which was so important and so exciting to me, because I had really been a domestic goddess. That's what I did. You know, I cleaned toilets and, you know, washed clothes and that kind of stuff, right? Went to school things for my kids. And so, you know, once I joined CCB and I started getting out in the community and, you know, doing some advocacy work, that was what led me to being invited to be a part of the board of directors at my current employer at RACV. And I looked at the ED and I said, no, I want a paid gig. I got skills, right? Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, I had a job. I was working part-time as the AT advocate and a receptionist. And, you know, in less than 5 years, because of all of the amazing hats that CCB allows us to try on for size, I've been able to move from that part-time AT advocate and receptionist to the director of programs at our Center for Independent Living, which is really cool. And I really, honestly, I owe it to, you know, CCB and, you know, being able to, like I said, try on all those hats, as well as the friendships and, you know, the mentoring that I've been able to get from all of you, everyone. You know, I take a little piece of everyone that I meet in CCB with me, because, you know, you guys are all just so amazing to me. So thank you, Susan.
No. Thank you. Thank you for everyone here tonight. Look what I'm starting to see a whole issue of the BC called Intersections, just from these stories. This is very neat. Who else would like to speak up?
This is Debbie Obregon.
Hey, Debbie. Yes.
Hi there. I joined CCB in 2000. Both my husband and I did. But I volunteered at conventions as a sighted guide and just an all-around helper for about 10 years before that. And so one of the first things that occurred pretty soon after I joined was my sister started selling Pampered Chef products. And we were brainstorming, trying to figure out what can she do to get her business off the ground and be successful, you know? And it just so happened that it was not too long before our convention was coming up. I don't remember if it was the spring one or the fall one, but anyway, it was in Los Angeles and at one of the nice hotels down there. And so I talked to my sister and I asked her, how would you feel about being an exhibitor at our CCB convention? And you can bring your Pampered Chef items, and you can rent a table or two, and you can put your items out and show them to all of us CCB members.
That's very clever.
And, you know, be able to describe them, and people can pick them up and touch them and know what they're like, and you can explain how they work and, you know, that sort of thing, and explain about how, you know, a great, very great percentage, maybe, you know, 90% of them are accessible to blind people. And, you know, I was using a lot of them myself. So, you know, she'd been with me all of our lives, but I've always had some vision, not a lot, but some. But she'd never really been around people who were totally blind. So it was a totally eye-opening experience for her. And so she pretty much came to the conventions, the southern ones and a lot of the northern ones, for about 16 years until she retired in 2016. And, you know, she just she made a lot of friends, and people anticipated her coming. And, you know, it was a great experience for her and for me, too, because I used to help her sometimes at her table. So that's kind of a way that CCB did intersect my life and my sister's life in a great way.
And I will say that your sister was responsible for me spending a good deal of money, because I fell in love with Pampered Chef
pasta pots and cutting boards that had these little neat trays for vegetables. And it was a great idea. But what I, aside from the humor, what I'm hearing here is a story about a way in which we intersect with someone who can see. And that was a neat experience for her. It was a neat experience for you. I think when sighted people are part of our conventions, it allows them to explore our, not our world, because we're not separate, but you know what I mean? It allows us to cross that supposed little gap or fence and get to know each other. And I think that's a real exciting intersection of our communities.
Right. She's been retired since 2016, and sometimes people still ask me if she's ever going to sell it again.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
And Debbie, I super remember your sister coming to that convention with the Pampered Chef stuff. That was so cool.
Anyone else have intersections with your life, leadership, team building, anything like that? So I'm about to issue a challenge. I think based on what we've heard tonight and based on the fact that this presentation, this seminar that we're creating is being recorded, that everybody on this call can create an article for the BC by May 22nd. And even if we couldn't use them all in the BC, which we technically can because it's cyberspace, we can make it as long as we want. Wouldn't it be cool to try? And so my challenge is, let's see how many pieces you can send to Mike and me and make us go, oh my God, how are we going to do this? let's see if we can do that. Now, I know that there's a big difference between talking about writing and writing. And Christy, you said that beautifully, you know, when you said, maybe it wasn't Christy, someone said, I'm not sure where to start. And what I would like to say is that, not that we exactly write the way we talk, but if you just tell your story as you told it this evening, it can be a wonderful article. And these our articles for the BC don't have to be huge. They could be, you know, 300 words, you know, 400 words, 500, whatever we wanted. And I am very happy.
Or a poem.
If you want to send.
Regina has done that.
Regina's done it several times. Yeah. And Bonnie Rennie has sent poems.
You guys have my article. This is Christy. You guys have my article already.
We do. That is right. So I guess that means you're off the hook for May 22nd, doesn't it? she can, you know, talk to the rest of us.
Ahead of time. That's because I was late for February.
That's okay. That works out perfectly. It really does. If anybody, would like help with an article, with putting something together, maybe we could commandeer a Zoom line before the 22nd and have a little office hour writer's workshop if people want to do that. And you can, you know, bring it there, or if people want to send something to Mike and me ahead of time. But we're not looking to be perfect here. We just want to get these stories out and told. Does this sound like an agreeable challenge to everybody?
Susan, this is Linda Samolsky.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, I have a question. I came in just a few minutes late. Is there a special theme for the May 22nd BC?
The BC itself, no, there's not. But the theme of our conversation and workshop tonight was our intersections. How do our lives intersect with CCB, and how does CCB intersect with our lives? Okay. And so the article, let me put it this way, not one topic brokered this evening has not addressed that. They've all addressed that. And the main thing is just to get us writing and talking to each other, and who knows where this can go, you know, beyond the BC, but that's my thought as a starter. So no, not a theme per se, just follow this idea of intersections.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been writing down some ideas and like just kind of quippy names of stuff. So I'm up to like 30.
Can you share your list? Is that very hard to do?
Let's see. Okay, so then I started out with your questions. In what ways has being a part of CCB strengthened me? In what ways has being a part of CCB strengthened me as a leader? In what ways has being in CCB made me a bit better team player? In what ways has being a part of CCB made me a better friend? What is my CCB story? Lonely at the top, parallels in life, raising children and raising consciousness, relationships, CCB involvement and social work, aging gracefully while blind, what is advocacy and how has it shaped me? Intersection between CCB and social work, retirement musings, how has what I have learned in CCB affected my life at large, blindness culture, knowledge, networking and resources, people power, change agent, who am I? Faith and spirituality. Happy wife, healthy life. Finding my niche. The work world. Trying on hats. The rest of the story. Parts and pieces. Family matters. Canes and trains, dogs and planes. Hear and listen, and what tomorrow may bring. That's my list.
You a hand because I was so busy facilitating, I wasn't writing. Isn't that beautiful? Kristen, yeah. You're awesome.
I'm so glad this is recorded. Right. Go for it, Kristen. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
Susan, I'm wondering if we can maybe, in the spirit of, you know, team players, if we could ask David if maybe he could share some words of wisdom of how he, you know, starts or writes an article, like maybe some tips and tricks from the trenches.
Let's do that.
And then anyone else on the call who's written articles who wants to share how you get started. That's a great idea. So, David, let's put you on the spot. It's always fun to do that.
Sarah is picking on me because we had a very good-natured argument about resolution, so I deserve it. But, you know, Sarah, I love you, and I admire you greatly, and you know that I have a lot of respect for you. So I will definitely be on your team anytime.
Thank you, David. Well, share your wisdom with us. You're such a great writer, and I'd like to know kind of where you start.
Okay, I guess a thought comes to me, like I was talking to people and they were saying, gosh, you know, this was like last year. And I thought, I want to write an article. And people were saying, you know, why does everybody talk about technology? I don't have a smartphone. I have the Lady A, but, you know, I don't have access to the internet. I feel like I'm left behind. I feel like people really don't want to be involved with me because I'm not in the spirit of the whole technology thing. And I thought to and also the idea that I can't keep up. And I thought to myself, what can I do to help? What can I do to spur them on? How can I be root for them and say, hey, they have a position that needs to be heard. And so I wrote an article about something about have many blind Americans been left behind? And I talked about people with low incomes or living on fixed incomes who don't have the advantages that many other blind people have, which is also connected to the haves and have-nots, you know, the digital divide that everybody talks about. And I wrote an article, and Susan and Mike accepted it. And I just wrote what people told me, basically. I wrote about their feelings. I didn't take any side. And I just tried to be neutral. And I tried to explain from their point of view their concerns and their feelings that maybe they don't measure up to what blind people should be because they can't compete with the technology because they don't have it. And I was really pleased that they accepted the article, and then later on, Sharon Lovering accepted it for the forum. And I think one of the things that I try to do is put myself in other people's places and try to understand where they're coming from. Or I write about an event, a dramatic event in my life that I want to share. There are many ways to come at it, but everybody has a story. And as I have told others, I would be glad to work with people and help them develop their story, you know, into an article or an essay. And because everybody has all kinds of exciting events to talk about.
We so sure nobody, do. And
yeah,
David, you just said something really cool. The article that you wrote began with the question, have many blind Americans been left behind? Do you find, as I often do, that it's a question that propels an article? Something that you want to answer, and you know there's people out there who want to answer it too, and you go after that answer in a way, but without judgment.
That's right. I didn't. This article was not an opinion piece. It was not. I did not want to bring any judgment to the article. I wanted to write what they were thinking. I wanted to look at different points of view to see what, you know, and to see if people would respond. Unfortunately, we don't have too many letters to the editor in the BC or the forum, and I would love to see more of those.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Because I think it's really exciting to hear people's responses to articles too. Because those can become articles.
To the editor.
Those can become articles.
Yes.
So yeah.
They definitely.
Anyway,
can.
I will shut up for now.
No, that's wonderful.
Okay.
Anyone else who writes a lot here who wants to share how you get started, how you put it together, what you do?
I know when I have something to write, I come at it very gently because I could be eating breakfast and start thinking about something and lead to something else and lead to something else. And you know, you've got a framework for something to write about. And then it might sit there for a while. Before the time comes where I don't know how to say this exactly, but the words just come.
Do you find that part of the reason they come is because you're kind of having that conversation in your head before you start writing?
I think that's what it is, but it's very, very low level, unconscious, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of my pre-writing when I'm walking, when I'm out with the dog or the horse or doing chores. There's something going on with my hands and my body, and it kind of gets into my head, and I'm trying on sentences and words, and then I'll sit down at the computer and the first word will come out, and then it, you know, eventually it gets more structured. But as Mike says, I sort of wander around and find my way into it. One of my mentor teachers said once that she said there's many ways to start writing, but two of the most common are there are the people who plant carrots, and they plant lots and lots of carrots, and then they thin out the carrots until they get the ones they want to grow big into the garden. And those are the people who write, and they put down all the ideas, and then they go through and they weed back till they get the ideas that they really want. And then she said there's another kind of writer who's kind of like someone who builds a house. And she can do it too. She's an architect. She sits down, she's got a drafting board, and she meticulously places the frame and then builds in. And neither one is wrong or right. And, you know, everything in between can work for drafting articles as well. But those were two metaphors that stuck with me.
I sometimes find when I'm writing something, it doesn't start with anything really. Mm-hmm. I just start writing and this comes to that, that comes to this. Oh, yes, but I'm going to turn a corner here and talk about this. Mm-hmm. And maybe bring it back to what I was talking about, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of, it's like a flowing thing.
Yeah.
Where it didn't start from an outline. It was just sort of, it's sort of galloping down the road kind of thing.
Right, right. And it may change according to what you're doing. When we write a convention report, we know there are certain spaces we got to fill in. And so there's sort of a structure in place for that. If you're writing about legislation, if you've got data that you've got to manipulate, that's sort of more like the architect thing where, you know, okay, I've got to fit in this. I've got to answer these particular questions. Yes. And that's as close as I think we get to, you know, there'll be a particular kind of writing. It's been a long time since I've said, now, Susan, what is your thesis statement? You know, I haven't done that in years.
Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, I just resonate a great deal with what Mike was talking about. Yeah. And I think it might have something to do with the way I learned to write as a young person in school. I mean, that was back in the Stone Age. And, you know, we had, maybe I had a large print typewriter, but there wasn't going to be any writing, editing and writing, rewriting and what have you. I needed to cook the idea. And then when I sat down to write it, that was going to be it. What came out in the machine was going to be what got turned in.
Amen.
So I had to do a great deal of, you know, pre-writing, pre-cooking, and then basically at the end, it was mostly taking dictation. But as I would go along, oh, here's a better word for what I just wrote or whatever. I have a tendency to make sure I don't use the same word over and over again. And when I'm writing, I'm always looking for different interesting ways to say things. So so that part develops as I'm writing it. But the idea had better be there pretty much whole cloth when I sit down to write, because there's not going to be any editing. That when I'm done, I press send.
Yeah. And I'm just curious. Is there a particular kind of labor that helps? Well, let me put it this way. I know that I'm trying to avoid writing if I'm cleaning the toilet. If I've gotten myself doing bathroom chores, that means I don't want to write at all. But if I'm gardening or if I'm cooking or if I'm taking care of animals, there's a pretty good chance I'm doing that stewing you're talking about. And so I'm kind of teasing you. You know, there's sometimes behaviors we engage in when we know we absolutely do not want to write that thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Christine. Yeah.
Mostly reading, you know. Oh, let me read this other thing. I'm sure it'll help get my thoughts together.
That's right. Yep. I have to research this. I'll read all day.
Exactly.
Christy wanted to say something, I think.
Yeah. So I, you know, what happens to me is I used to think that I was a procrastinator and that I put things off to the last minute. Well, I mean, I do and I have, but I tend to write best under pressure.
Yeah.
And what I recognize later on is that I gave things a long time and they were percolating in my head and in my brain and I didn't even realize it. And so when I did, like you said, Linda, we only had one shot at it. You know, you wrote Braille and you didn't want to scratch out the Braille because you couldn't read it, or your Braille teacher couldn't read it, or you were on that typewriter and there was no turning back. What you wrote is what you wrote. And so, you know, now on the computer, it's like, I thought I died and went to heaven. The first computer I had with WordPerfect with DOS.
Yes.
And it even let you do the reveal code so you could, you know, figure out where the paragraph was or where the indent was or the tab or the highlights, you know, bolds and things. And, you know, then there for a while, it was hard for us to figure out those things. So I just kind of, you know, have continued, just write it out. And if I get a chance to look it over, I do try to look things over because I've learned from being at work. My supervisor sent out the most god-awful pieces of stuff that I said, if I was a supervisor and I sent that out, I would be so embarrassed. Can't they check their work? So, I mean, like I have the little thing that goes, nah, when I misspell something. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can tell when people are just writing stuff and they purposely don't look, don't figure they have time. It's a good thing that I'm looking because often I will write things like TOE instead of the. Well, toe is a word, but it's not what I wanted. I mean, and I've done that several times. Instead of May, I've written Amy.
Sure.
So, and this is going out to people like I'm, with my BetterHelp, I'm writing messages all the time to my clients. I need to make sure I know what I'm writing. So like Linda, I try to use different words and different groupings of words. And I'm done.
and I'm thinking that there's two thoughts here. One is that we all grew up having to get it right because we were brailing or typing.
Yeah.
But now we have the luxury of editing. And I feel not only do we want to edit for our own because we want the correct words and we want to get it right, but if we make mistakes, it's going to look worse than if sighted people. I mean, we cannot afford it. We cannot afford to get it wrong. And mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so glad that we have editing tools and we can be meticulous. Mm-hmm. Now that said, if there's anyone on this call who hasn't written a lot, don't be terrified because a part of what we do on the BC is we all try to make everything look as wonderful as it can. And by the way, every writer I know asks people to edit. You cannot see all your own mistakes.
No.
No matter how good mm-hmm. you are, you cannot. And so it's very useful to go to someone else and say, can you look this over? And sometimes what people catch cracks me up. I should have seen it. And I just didn't. Yeah.
This is Linda Samolsky.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh, where do I start? I have a lot of experiences and a lot of different things because I've lived a long life, and the longer you live, the more experiences you have. So I really get creative. An idea comes into my head and I really enjoy writing things down, and I love to cook, and I kind of look at it. I look at writing as kind of molding a recipe, like making a bread, you know. You make it, if you're making a yeast bread, you make the loaf and then you have to punch it down and wait for it. And that's the way I kind of look at my writing, is I write a bunch of stuff down. I just write it. I do write complete sentences, but I just write it and then I go back to it and I kind of edit it and shape it. And the other thing is that my husband taught writing, and he and I go back and forth. If he writes something, then I'll edit his.
In the bathroom, I wrote something.
Okay.
Then I will. I edit his work and he edits mine, and mm-hmm. we're kind of like our own worst, or I'm his worst critic and he's mine, but we get the job done together, you know, and so that's kind of the way I write.
And having that someone who loves you, who's also your most demanding critic, is really cool when you can have that. It's right. Really good. Yeah. But we're just about running out of time. As this workshop was structured different than last year. Last year, we did a lot of writing. This year, I wanted us just to explore our treasure chest of ideas and also talk about process. And I hope it's been useful. Is there anything anyone else wants to say, ask, recommend before we close? We have a few more minutes.
Susan, could we have you or Mike share where somebody can submit an article to, the email address?
Sure. Mike, you want to go ahead and give our BC address?
Well, editor@ccbnet.org is an address which sends your article to everybody. It sends your article to Susan and me. That's editor@ccbnet.org.
Oh.
But it isn't always friendly. And if you have trouble getting an article to us, you could send it to me or Susan separately. I'm not sure. I've forgotten Susan's address, but mine is M as in Mike, L is on Lima, Keithley, KEITHLEY at comcast.net. And Susan, you should give your address.
Yeah, and my address is Susan, S-U-S-A-N, C as in Claire, Glass, G-L-A-S-S. So Susan C. Glass at att.net. And that is probably a good idea. I don't know why the editor, I think that it's kind of like Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream. It's a mischievous little poltergeist, and sometimes it just makes off with things. Address. I don't know why.
Anyway, I wanted to say that when you give a trial, submit an article, and for some reason we can't take it, don't let that be the final effort. Keep trying on it.
And sometimes it's because you just missed a deadline or things got crowded, or sometimes it just needs a little more work. But yeah, please keep sending things, because the magazine is as strong as our voices. Well, I think, unless someone else has anything else to say, or if you have any suggestions, we can stop the recording. But before you do, Sarah, I want to thank everyone for coming on this call. I am so excited now. And I've been in a bit of a dry spell myself, and you've all inspired me so much. And Christy, thank you so much for that list. That just really jump-started things.
I'm going to send, I got up to 46 now, so I'll send it to you.
Okay. But that's just terrific. Every voice on the call, you know, Linda Samolsky, I haven't gotten to know you very much. Just hearing everybody tonight, it meant so much. And thank you for taking time on a Monday. We've got some great Californians here, you know, we just have some really wonderful, wonderful people. So on that note, I think we are done.